to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Happy New Year, and welcome to episode 107 of the Lap Traffic Podcast, part 6 of the best of for season 2. Hope you all had a great Christmas, and while I'm doing this before Christmas, I'm sure it will have been. So, a little third-person break-the-fourth-wall podcasting there for you. So, how about that? And I hope everyone has a great New Year's. Hope everyone's safe, all that good stuff, and indulging in some football, I am sure, college football anyways. And, I'm ready for March Madness. That's where my head's at right now. That said, hope you guys enjoyed last week's Best of Part 2 with Jeff Striegel. And hey, you can't do a Best of series over the offseason and not have NASCAR chasm involved. So without further ado, kicking it back to episode
69.
Here is everybody's favorite, Mr. NASCAR chasm. All right, joining me on the line, you can follow him on Twitter at NASCAR Chasm. You can find some of his stuff on NASCAR.com. He cleared out his very busy schedule tonight just to come on the show. Welcome back once again, Mr. NASCAR Chasm. How are you, sir?
Spectacular. Are you doing well?
I am excellent. How's life? How's things? It's been a while since we've talked.
Yeah, it really, really has. I was starting to wonder if you had basically kind of sort of disowned me. I don't really know. But,
never.
But wonderful to be back on.
Excellent. So. Thank you very much. Let's dive right into it. So you've been known for doing some really funny stuff on NASCAR.com. And I want to talk about your latest set of fake text centered around the birth of Dale Jr.'s new baby. And what I want to do is, I don't want to talk about that. I want to take a dangerous journey into the mind of NASCAR chasm. And I want to know what was the inspiration behind the first set of fake texts that have led to this phenomenon?
Well, you know why we do those is because it's just a really quick kind of sort of easy thing to get out there on a deadline. If there's a large event that's happening, whether it's the, like you said, the birth of Dale Jr. or something else, it's really easy if you want to bust out what hopefully is a decent, quick comedic piece to just do those. I don't know how or why that is the case, but it just really is. And so that's why that tends to be the fail safe, basically.
They're phenomenal. I mean, I literally get a, I'll sit there and read them like 2 or 3 times. I think they're hysterical.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I mean, by all means, keep doing that, man. Quick's matter.
Click.
4 or 5,
yes.
And then just keep hitting refresh. Do that, okay?
Yeah, and if everyone can do that with the show, too, downloads matter. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're no need to lie. We are all quick horse.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So let me add, and if you don't want to divulge this information, that's cool. So whose phone are you using and resetting names to text back and forth with yourself to take the screenshots?
Oh, I don't use any of those. There are plenty of online generators where you can do that.
Nice.
So there's absolutely no phone that is used. That
Excellent.
Would be, like I said, I don't have enough friends to do that. So I can't, there's no way I can be like, hey, bro, what's up? Hey, do you mind if I text you this and you text me this back? And we do this 9 times,
right,
maybe more in case there's typos. No, that's not how we do it. There's these little online build-a-fake text conversation generators that are really easy to use. So
good
sorry
to know.
Sorry to pull back the curtain and ruin everything like that. You know, there's no
special wizard.
Yeah, there's no, Lucasfilm CGI kind of action going on there. Sorry. Very sorry.
You also did a video of Morgan Freeman spotting for Jimmy Johnson at Talladega, which was hysterical. What led to that?
Oh, boy, I don't know. You hallucinate during the day and sometimes things pop into your head. And, I think all of us probably have that dream. where we would just love to hire Morgan Freeman for one day to just narrate one day of our life. That's all we want. As boring and monotonous as mine is, that's what I would love to do. And so, you know, we just took the, what could Morgan Freeman narrate? No, you know, Lap at Talladega, that would be wonderful. And so that was kind of fun to do. We got a pretty good reaction on that. Yeah. Morgan himself has not chimed in, but, you know, it still hasn't been out there that long.
Right.
So I'm sure his people will be in touch with my people soon. And we'll get,
obviously.
We'll be able to green light another project. You know how they do it in Hollywood.
So a suggestion. For your next one of the spotter remakes there, I think Joe Pesci would do a great job spotting. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Ooh, Joe Pesci. I never thought of that, really. Yeah, I never thought of that. Huh.
I think that would be phenomenal.
Really? So you think are we talking like Home Alone Joe Pesci, or are we talking like super angry Goodfellas Joe
Pesci? I'm thinking either maybe like a cross of Goodfellas with a little My Cousin Vinny mix in there, maybe,
if it worked. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, yeah. I think that'd be hysterical.
Exactly. Speaking of My Cousin Vinny, what do you think Joe Pesci thinks of the current Ute movement in the sport?
the two Utes.
The two Utes, yeah, there you go. That, you can feel free to use that dad joke for right ahead. Oh, I'm disowning that one.
That's making the cut. You're good.
Good.
All right. Moving right along. Kaz, as someone who is not a stranger to making bets, hashtag Joey Logano, never forget, some of the biggest buzz in the world of sports is the potential of legalized sports betting. Could this potentially be a good thing for NASCAR and fans? You know, obviously it's not going to solve attendance or ratings issues, but could that give the sport a little jolt if NASCAR is able to get into that?
I can only speak for myself, and I would certainly enjoy it. Whenever I'm in Vegas, I'm not a full on degenerate Pete Rose level gambler, but you go to the pay window and you pick a couple things, and I've had success doing that. And boy, you know, I don't know the intricacies, the legalities, or any of the logistics that go into actually saying, hey, let's have pay windows set up at all the tracks, and you can bet on the stage winners, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, it could get real serious. I mean,
oh, you bet it could. You bet it could.
Like my buddy owns a sports bar, and him and I were talking the other day. Like, could this get as simple as, you know, we've got Bar Keno basically ran through the state of Michigan up here. You know, could we literally be sitting at the bar, and instead of filling out a Keno slip, we're filling out a bet slip that gets ran through a machine, and boom, here's your ticket while you're watching, having a couple drinks on a Friday night kind of thing. Like. It could get scary, I think, in terms of, I mean, Detroit's got three casinos as it is, and there are some major degenerates down there, you know. I like to go every once in a while, you know, for Friday night, whatever. And I'd be the same way with this. Like, I love DraftKings, you know, and I do DraftKings just because I can't make actual line bets on sports and things like that. So I would really look forward to being able to make a bet on a NASCAR race or a football game or something like that. And I there's options out there, right? Like with the offshore stuff, but I don't trust, you know, some guy sitting in God knows what country to mail me a Visa gift card when I want to cash out my winnings. So.
My God, what kind of, hold on a second. Hold on. Before we go any further, you are way more into this than I expected. You were talking like, so do you have a direct line to some random anonymous bookie who lives in the Cayman Islands?
No, I know.
Setting these all up for you? Because we need to talk, if so. We really do.
I know a lot of people that have played like on some of the other, you know, like Bovada, sportsbook.ag or whatever. And I just get too leery. It's either one that I'm going to get a knock on the door from the federal government for illegal betting or, you know, so I'm like, I'm excited for it to maybe be legalized. So, you know, I'm thinking, you know, everybody's going to want their cut of the pie, whether it's the NFL, NASCAR, the state, the federal, you know, so the odds on what might have been maybe a 10-1 bet might only be a 5-1 bet when it's all said and done. But, you know, I think it'd be very cool.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if you looked at it, but a few days ago, Brendan Gaughan, who is, of course, a member of the Gaughan family, the Las Vegas, the South Point Casino, and all that.
Yep.
He put out actually a series of tweets that I found very interesting because, you know, whenever we hear that gambling however it is at events, or, you know, I don't know the intricacies of the actual bill, but you are like, oh, sweet, more money for teams. And you had like all these, like, you know, just theories about it come flying out. More money for NASCAR, more money for teams. And I don't know how it works. I don't know if teams get a cut of that. I don't know if leagues get a cut of that. And Brendan Gaughan actually kind of sort of explained that. And, you know, he would know. Brendan would know. And he put out a good series of tweets that really kind of breaks it down. I won't list them off right now because I don't exactly remember them.
Yeah,
because
no, it's
I'm
good.
Old now.
Yeah, I'm going to go and check that.
it's a good set to kind of look at because, you know, there's a lot more to it. It's not just as simple as opening up a pay window.
Right.
Every yeah. track. There's yeah. There's yeah, a lot more to it. And I think, you know, naturally every, you know, I think every league was probably asked to comment on it, and not just motorsports, you know, probably every professional sports league there is. Hey, can we get a comment on the bill that legalized? And everyone's going to say the same thing. Well, perhaps it might open up an opportunity and we're looking into it, but we have no real comment at this time because there's blah, blah, blah. You sure. know, no one's going to be like, hell yeah, we're opening up a pari-mutuel window right next to the concession stand. No one's going to say that. That's not how it works.
No.
It's, yeah, I mean, just the possibility of, you know, showing up, getting your giant turkey leg, your soda, your beer, or whatever. And, you know, if you got 10 bucks there, heck, let's do a win place show at the end. You know,
oh, yeah.
Let's do a superfecta. It could work. And boy, oh boy, I would certainly do it. And just imagine like at a super speedway race where the odds are probably, you know, you have a much, much better chance of maybe that lower odds driver making you some money. Because if it was legal right now, think of the issues of, boy, hey, guess what? I went and put $100 on Kevin Harvick, and I'm proud to say that I went to that pay window after the race, and I'm the proud owner of $100.15.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's how it would be now. Yep. So, yeah.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, so I want to get your take on, you may not have read it, but there was an article published last week on JSKI, talked about some frustration within NASCAR between teams and owners. It appears as though NASCAR and teams are looking very forward to 2020 when the first expiration of the team charters occurs. Track sanctioning agreements will be up. NASCAR fans have been very vocal and resistant to change, and it seems like the potential of another major shakeup in the sport could happen in the next 2 years. Can you give your thoughts on, you know, could there be a shakeup once all this stuff comes up for a reagreement?
Possibly. I'm not necessarily one who is afraid of change. I'm not sure if you've noticed here, if you've been on social media from time to time, but one thing that always happens whenever something new comes down the pike, whether it's this package that was used at the All-Star Race or stage racing and so on, basically what happens is NASCAR introduces it and everyone just totally agrees. That's what's so nice about the sport is like whenever something new comes about, everyone is in 100% agreement.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, like I said, not to kind of dodge it necessarily, because there's a lot more smarter people to talk to it than I am. But, you know, acknowledging shift, acknowledging change, that's part of things. And if you hear about a change that's coming down the pike, whether it's a schedule shift, whether it's the, you know, the charter system, boy, I know nothing about that. Trust me, nothing. But experience them first, observe them, watch them happen, then make up your mind.
Sure.
You know, because I know we're in an immediate hot take society right now. Boy, you know, you gotta know right away if you know, pit guns. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, that's good. You have to have an opinion immediately. And, you know, in my opinion, no, you don't. It's perfectly fine to look and see how things, you know, how they are happening, and then base a conclusion on that. It's kind of how they do it. And, you know, I think scientists do that from time to time.
test and make observations and then report back, right?
Yes, exactly. It's not like this, I am going to make antibiotics, possibly. No, it's, you know, you do the experiment and, oh, hey, look, penicillin. Sweet. That's how you do it. And I, like I said, I, for one, will totally be fine with it. And I think what will happen, if there are changes, if there are shifts, if charters stay, if they go, if the schedule changes or, you know, goes through some major shakeup, I'll be fine with it. And what will happen is the way time passes, in a few years, we will romanticize how it was now. You know how people are talking about how great the good old days were when, you know, Richard Petty was, you know, lapping up to, you know, like everybody. You know how he put the field down?
The field, two laps, three laps. Yeah,
exactly. You know, that's kind of the normal chain of events, how things, I think, operate in society here. They happen. Some people like, some people complain. Then time passes, and then that whole era gets romanticized. So whatever happens, like I said, if the schedule gets shorter, then in a few years, oh, God, remember the good old 36 race years? You know, it's like, oh, God. You know,
I'm with you.
It's just the way social media operates.
I'm open. You know, I remember each facet of the progression of racing, and especially over the last decade when we've gone from straight points championships to the race for the chase without the elimination. And now we've got the elimination. Like, each thing had its own characteristics that were good. And I'm one to evolve, and that, you know, to keep up with the Joneses and to keep up with the times, you know, you got to make some changes. So I'm not, you know, I think some changes might be bad, but I'd rather see, like you said, let's see how they play out first. Like, I think this, not to beat a dead horse here with the whole pit guns, because I've said it quite a few times on the show this season already, but I'm shocked they didn't test that out in the truck series first or something like that. Like, no, all three series, boom, here we go, and fingers crossed, you know? So,
yeah, exactly.
I think, you know, hopefully maybe this could be a future learning experience or something like that, you know, that they don't make mistake again, but...
Yeah, kind of a watershed moment, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, and but I think what is important is the measured approach. I kind of like, you know, what O'Donnell said after the All-Star race this past Saturday night. He was, you know, I think he was pleased, but he wasn't necessarily like, this is the way things are going. It was a measured approach. There was some good to it. There was some bad to it. And, you know, I was glad to see that, because so many other places and tracks, yeah, I saw a track tweeting like, OMG, can we have this package when we get here? And it's like, slow your roll, Okay. Calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot more to be worked out. So,
well, you know, so speaking of that, let's talk about that for a minute. So we'll get to the actual racing itself in a minute, but what was your take on the actual package that they ran at the All-Star race? Were you a fan? You know, there was a lot of spectrum covered on social media, of course, because everyone's got their rightful opinion. People hated it, people loved it. What was your view on the package?
I was fine with it. Like, once the race started, one thing that was really, really odd was that when qualifying was happening, it was visibly slower. It was like, are they cutting the engine off and saving fuel and qualifying? Like, what's going on here? Because you could absolutely tell. But once the actual race started, I think probably after restarts or on the green flag, took a little bit to get going. But, you know, for some reason, it was that the optimal difference between when you see one car out there running solo in quals, it looks pretty slow, and I don't know really what I'm going to think of this, but when they're all out there and they're, you know, finally racing, I was, you know, kind of a fan of it. Now, yeah, the car out front still appeared to have a slight advantage like it did, but, you know, that guy was going to get $1 million. But back in the pack, that's where there was a lot more action, a lot more side-by-side, and a lot more just out of control happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, back there is what I saw. And so... and when it comes to that whole passing the leader argument, yeah, it's great if you can pass the leader, but, and I know a lot of people were kind of complaining about that, but the hypothetical is the only reason that Kevin Harvick, I believe, didn't win the second stage was because during the pit stops, they lost position.
Yep.
Now, it's just possible that hypothetically, and maybe based on 2018, they just had the best car out there. You know, and that's the thing you got to weigh in, you know, is if it's Kevin Harvick out front and everyone's like, oh, I wish they could pass the leader. It's like, they haven't been able to pass the leader with the previous package. They weren't able to pass Kevin Harvick with this one.
Right.
You know, well, Harvick is good.
to be fair, the space between Harvick and position two wasn't 6-7 seconds. It was a second.
No,
it was
really
a half
wasn't.
Second. So, you know, the gap got shortened up a bit to where at least there was excitement at almost all three of the stages, and then with the final there. So, you know, that at least closed the gap a little bit to, you know, make it a little bit more exciting there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And again, you know, it's not a final product. It's a work in progress.
Yeah.
Just remember that, people. Just remember that.
Work in progress. So we heard from some drivers after the race or during the race, if they were getting out of the care center. Martin Truex Jr. said, "We put on a hell of a show." Logano said, "I wish every race was this fun. Nothing to lose. Just go for it." Larson, "I hate to admit it, but the package was kind of fun at times." It seems like the drivers might be okay with it. And if the drivers are in favor, that could maybe push things along a little bit quicker if they were to make some changes down the road.
You would hope they're the ones who have the ultimate input. I'm just glad that they're, I would say, listen to them and don't listen to Twitter. They would be the ones to talk to, you know, they really would be just don't listen to Twitter. We're not not a great sounding board.
No. Definitely, you know, not sourcing Twitter.
and you know, the other thing to consider is that, you know, with all the changes that the car has gone through over the years, and with this new package and everything, this was the first race with it. There were some, I've never personally seen a big one at Charlotte like that.
Right.
I've never seen, you know, Kurt Busch just kind of like oddly snap around in the position that he was. But, you know, it's entirely possible that, let's say you were to make this the norm, that in 2, 3, 4 races down the road, like I said, these teams are smart. Everybody's got it figured out.
Sure.
So, you know, it's, I don't think necessarily the purpose of like every package is completely fool or befuddle teams or be like, well, it's out of control, deal with it. You know, I think that, I mean, especially Rodney Childers, I think you could say the quarter panels have to be made of lunch meat, and Rodney Childers would figure out a way to optimize it and get it to the front. So
yeah, they definitely have it worked in and dialed in this season so far.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. All right. So this Sunday, big day in racing. I know you're an Indiana native. Are you going to the 500, or what's Chasm's schedule like for the racing weekend this weekend?
Oh, well, I got my private jet set up.
Nice.
And what we're doing is on Friday, flying out to Monaco. And,
awesome.
You know, I'm hooking up that night. I think I got a champagne party with Lewis Hamilton on his yacht in the harbor there. And then I'll catch a little bit of the race. And then I got my reconditioned, refurbished Concorde. We're sailing back over to Indy. And we'll catch a little bit of that. And then back to Charlotte.
Living the good life, right? I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Here's the deal. I'm getting up at 5 a.m. and I'm going to Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Yeah,
nice.
That's basically
nice.
It.
Nice.
You know, when you're Indiana, it's what you do. And, you know, one of my pet peeves always has been, and one thing that I, you know, will not do on, I mean, you know, granted, it's weird when I say, hey, here is one thing I will not do on Twitter, when it's like, well, why don't you have a rule that says, hey, how about you have a rule where you don't post crappy dad jokes all the time and waste our life? You know, I don't have that rule, but one that I do is that you don't diss or make fun of any other racing series.
Fair enough.
I like them all. And, you know, that's why I absolutely love going to the 500. I always have. And that's where we will be, in our usual spot in the South Vista between turns 1 and 2, where last year we got I don't want to say it was a good vantage point because there was nothing good about it. Basically right in front of Scott Dixon's harrowing wreck.
Oh, wow.
That happened right in front of us.
Okay.
So we will be there. And myself, a few other people will soak it all in. I'm going to have to figure out a way to keep my wife from humping Chris Hemsworth's leg. That'll be a kind of a challenge, but you know, she won't be the only one, I don't think.
No,
that poor guy is going to be like, I think by the, oh boy, even before green flag, that poor guy is going to be like standing on the top of the IMS scoring pylon with just hordes of horny cougars just trying to climb that thing to get to him. It'll be crud, you know. They're going to have to helicopter him off of there, be that poor guy. But yeah, that's where we'll be. And then we'll basically the way traffic has worked out traditionally, we are able to get home about a half hour before green flag at the old Coca-Cola 600.
Excellent.
It was kind of funny how a few years ago, because, you know, obviously with priorities being what they were, when Kurt Busch ran the double, Kurt Busch was able to get from Indianapolis to Charlotte before I was able to get to my house 15 miles away from the track.
Wow. Yeah. So that's
kind of how it works.
That's 350,000, I think, were there last year.
I'm not sure if it's that much. I don't know the attendance figures, but they do a wonderful job, you know, especially with the Snake Pit, what they've done in getting a whole bunch of kids who may not even be there necessarily for the race. They have this whole, right in turn three, this giant EDM concert where they have these big EDM acts perform. It's really kind of surreal because there's like bass going and there's like smoke, towers going off. It's really kind of surreal and, very impressive what they've done with it.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, sir, have an excellent time there this weekend.
Well, thank you.
Let's talk some racing from this past weekend. We had the trucks on Friday night at Charlotte. Brett Moffitt, stage one. John Hunter Nemechek, stage two. And Johnny Sauter brings home the checkered flag. Smart money on this race would have been Kyle Busch. I mentioned it last week. Kyle has won seven out of the first 15 truck races held at Charlotte. Race started pretty quiet, didn't get three or four wide like we saw last week. Noah Gregson able to make some passes and get up to the lead. Caution came out with 10 to go, flat tire, Grant Enfinger. Sauter ends up staying out, but ends up losing the playoff point and the stage win to Brett Moffitt. I got to tell you, I felt real bad for Brett. Because he had a hell of a truck, and I think he could have contended with Sauter had he had been able to get onto pit road and not get blocked by Noah Gregson there during that one caution there.
Oh, really? That's too bad. Yeah, no, I understand that. I think, but it takes a lot to defeat Sauter, who's becoming one of my favorite individuals merely on in-car audio, because you can never tell if Sauter's being honest or not, or if he's just being 100% smart-ass sarcastic. You know, it's like you may, hey, Johnny, how's the truck handling? And he could get back on the radio like, oh, the truck? Oh, it's great. Oh, it's the best truck I've ever run. Oh, it's wonderful. It's turning beautifully. And you're like, I can't tell if you're being honest or not if you're just being a sarcastic prick.
Right?
I can't tell. And so, you know, that's why I love Johnny Sauter. But I was a fan of that. And truthfully, I was a fan of Kyle Busch's post-race press conference and being perfectly frank and perfectly honest. I don't mind that at all.
So I was going to ask you about that. So, you know, Kyle Busch has grown on me over the last couple of years. When he first came about, I was not a fan. And over the years, I've seen him do very nice things. And so obviously he has a good heart and he's a good character person outside of the track and all that a little bit. And I've just come to realize Kyle Busch is like the heel in professional wrestling. And you eventually learn to love the heel at some point in time. So Kyle Busch is growing on me, and I'm with you. I've got no issue with him vocalizing. You know, he's not the first person to criticize his pit crew this year, you know, and he's not going to be the last. So he just has a different demeanor about doing it that, you know, leaves a bitter taste in people's mouths, I think. But you have to appreciate what he does.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you know, like you said, you mentioned professional wrestling, and I know that's not a correlation we like to make. You know, if you don't have the bad guy to root against in professional wrestling, then what do you got?
Exactly.
You got nothing.
Yes.
And it's the same in, you know, years from now, everyone's going to appreciate the hell out of everything Kyle Busch did. It's like, you know, if you don't enjoy or appreciate the fact that you have somebody, if you're a detractor, if you have somebody to just boo mercilessly, and, you know, then you got to appreciate him. And more importantly, the fact that he doesn't care. That's what also makes it awesome. Just like, wave it in, I absorb it, do what you want to do, I don't care, I'm going to win. That's what I love. And, you know, the fact that he in that post-race press conference, it was heated. Yeah. But you obviously can't, you know, accuse him of sugarcoating or, you know, trying to sort of downplay something, because I often figure that, you know, a lot of these drivers or crew chiefs or, you know, anybody who has to answer questions from the media, you know, what they might do is kind of downplay it and say, well, we had a few issues on pit road, but hopefully we can overcome that. We got a great group of guys, yada, yada, yada. You know, you got to figure some of them might go back right to the hauler after saying that and just ream everybody.
Absolutely.
You know, and so it's a matter of what you say for the camera versus, you know, what's actually happening. And with Kyle, you're like, I got a pretty good idea as to what he's going to say to the crew when they get back. So, you know, so yeah, so that's, you know, you always learn from the honesty.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I appreciate that. Yeah, and, you know, I never run into old Kyle and new Kyle. I want Kyle to absolutely 100% stay Kyle.
Absolutely. So. No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Matt Crafton, I talked about it last week with Jeff Gluck a little bit. He is struggling, in my opinion. You know, he finished 11th, which isn't horrible, but by Matt Crafton standards, in my opinion, that's the finishes Crafton's gotten so far through however many, 12 races, I think, or 10 races in the truck series. What's your take on Crafton? I think it might have something to do with the switch to Ford. It just doesn't seem like the Matt Crafton that, you know, is up there contending with Sauter like we would have expected to see.
Yeah, he's basically, I think all you really got to say, he's kind of the, right now, he's kind of the Jimmy of the truck series. That's what he is.
The veteran,
reliable driver who just out of nowhere, whether it's a manufacturer switch or in the Hendrick course, in the Hendrick cars, a switch of the Camaro, just something they're having trouble figuring out. So I think that, you know, that's maybe it. Now, granted, I think Jimmy's had maybe a little bit more success, and the bar might be a little bit higher for Mr. Johnson. But you know, that I think that's kind of a correlation that you can draw. You know, just, and you know, same with same with Mike Harmon in the Xfinity series. You know, like, you know, you just, the glory days are past.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
no, yeah. All right, so the trucks are off for a few weeks until June 8th, when they'll be under the lights of Texas. The trucks run 23 races with multiple combined off weeks. And it's not that I don't look forward to the cup race each week, but I really look forward to the trucks, knowing that they're not on each and every week. Is less more? And could this potentially see a reduced schedule maybe in 2020 with the cups? Could that be something to where we may not get the cups each week? And would that increase interest, knowing that we don't get it every week, perhaps?
Boy, if I had any information, I promise you that I would not tell you any of it.
This is all opinion-based. It's opinion-based.
Oh, this is all opinion-based. Opinion-based.
Smart-ass.
Okay, sorry. I didn't realize that. I thought you were trying to, like...
Oh, no.
Your theory might be that, when they have really important insider information, the first thing they're going to do is tell the loser on Twitter. It's like, no. I am really low on the totem pole. This I promise you. So, yeah. I'm fine with it the way it is. Now, I appreciate the, I believe, is it three off weekends we have now?
They're off two June 8th. Oh no, three. Yeah, three June 8th.
Three. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
And all that, but again, if that's a change that comes down the pipe, then I'm totally fine with it.
I'm with you. All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that flashback with NASCAR Chasm back from earlier this year. And that's pretty much going to be a wrap for this best of part six, episode 107. That's tongue twister there. They're off a number there. I don't like that. But let's see. So I will be back again next week, probably with another best of. And within the next week or two, be on the lookout for some info regarding next year's Fantasy League that is quickly approaching. I mean, it's January, right? And that means next month we're going racing, which means we got fantasy to talk about. So I will have been working on the Fantasy League for next year, some updates, trying to make it even better than this past year. So be on the lookout for that here in the next couple weeks as I get rolling here with the off season and the upcoming season. That said, Lap Traffic Nation, that's going to be a wrap. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Don't forget to follow on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Don't forget about the giveaway. Still got that going on. I hope everyone has a fantastic new year. Can't wait to get back in the saddle again. I feel out of place because this isn't the norm for me. I like to do full shows, not this cut and paste stuff. So can't wait to get back into the groove again. Let's see. Anything else? Make sure you're checking out the PETM podcast. They got fresh stuff going on. I can't wait to get back in and do some fresh stuff. If you've missed some of the other episodes, I was on PETM 174. Go check that out. Go check out the award show if you haven't done that. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm out of here. See ya.